Doing fantastic, Nikki. Hope you guys are as well.
We are. So I got to set this up. I get a text message from a very successful businessman who's a friend of mine who is a big, huge Clemson fan and who follows recruiting or followed recruiting for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And after Clemson loses an offensive line prospect to Florida, and it appears that Florida's getting everybody and Clemson's getting nobody, the text message to me from a very intelligent fan who is well-to-do says, are we paying players at all? It feels like the misconception he had is like, we're not paying anybody anything, and all these other people are paying everybody everything. And so, you know, Dr. Milt Lauder says, never use the examples of always or never. But, I mean, it is, but the other side of it is there is a value that you place and put all this. I'm going to let you get into that conversation. Specifically, let's talk about the offensive line that chose Florida over Clemson. And there's reasons to go to Florida other than money. But walk us through what you tell a Clemson fan that doesn't quite understand the current day and what all is going on in Clemson recruiting at this point in time.
Oh, I mean, you know, depending on what age you are, many of us collected baseball cards. And those baseball cards, you had Beckett Monthly, and there's a publication that told you how much those cards were worth. Well, you know, that's a nice starting point, but a baseball card is worth what someone is willing to pay you for it. You might have this great, you know, sleeve of old cards, but nobody is going to give you more than 10 cents for this guy's rookie card. But if you find that one person who really values that card, values that player, whatever, that price goes substantially up. So, you know, value is kind of relative there. I think the same thing applies to the recruiting market, to where there are price points that each school is kind of looking at for what the value is for a high schooler and depending on how good he is. But if you are, let's say, Florida, and Florida has come in and Florida has gotten two or three, you know, really three guys that Clemson had offered, varying levels to which Clemson was truly involved. But, you know, I think what you see and what I hear within my sources is Florida is paying a lot more than what others are for these high school linemen. I mean, fans don't like to hear that and think, well, we should be paying more. And there's certainly each school has to acquire talent. But, I mean, if you are Clemson, you know, looking at Clemson's situation, where they invested heavily in their offensive line last cycle and got six guys, and I'm not saying that is precluding them from signing anyone good or spending money this cycle, but everyone's kind of got a budget line that they're looking at, and that factors into, you know, what you're going to pay for, you know, to acquire people. Florida needs to acquire people. They have a new coach. Part of the reason they have a new coach is they didn't have enough talent. And so perhaps you have more, because you have not invested in the rest of your roster, maybe you've got more money to spend on the high schoolers. Maybe you are attempting to do that to create momentum, buzz, that you are on the upward trajectory. Each school, you know, Vanderbilt last year beats Georgia for a five-star quarterback. And it's not necessarily because Diego Pavia was great, and you see everything that Vanderbilt has to offer. Certainly, they put out a better financial offer, and basically plugging this guy into the starting lineup. Everybody's kind of got value slots there within your roster, just the way it's made up NFL wise now, and you've got places to plug people in. So you're going to have everybody's going to have a little bit different amount to spend on different players. Is there a conversation for Clemson on, you know, are you spending enough in high school recruiting or on individual players? Certainly. And I think that has been an ongoing conversation. But I think there's a misconception on Clemson not being willing to pay money for high school recruits when you look at the ones that they still are getting in. And there are cases where they have placed a pretty strong bid, or, you know, if you want to frame it like that, or they've come to the table with a strong offer, stronger than, you know, people know, or higher than your Ohio States and Georgia's for players. But we don't always know that information, and it doesn't always come public on some of these recruitments that a guy may have chosen a different school, you know, school for another reason because of that, you know, or gone to an even higher bidder. So what I would say is that certainly Clemson will be judged by the talent they get in and whether they win with it. I don't think this is a case that Clemson is not paying people. And I think you can certainly discuss is the money going to the right people or the right players? You know, are there overpaid players? Is there too much money going to retention? There are finer nuances of that discussion. But this is not a case of, like, Clemson is not willing to pay anybody. I mean, they've got some good recruits, certainly coming in for the official visit weekend. They've got one or two pretty good ones on their commitment list, and if you go back to previous classes, I mean, they have won some contested battles for some nice higher profile talent, you know, that doesn't come for free.
The part of the problem with all of that is that, and I was telling another, this is another conversation I have on text message, and his guy's frustrated about the Florida stuff too. And my point is, the point I made to him was that somewhere in this transactional world, there's somebody who's willing to pay more than you. There will always be that. And so then you got to get to the time where it's not just transactional. You got to continue to separate yourself in some way, because you will, I mean, in the end, somebody's going to be the highest bidder, but most time it's not going to be you. And that goes for Florida and Ohio State and Georgia and, I mean, other people. Like, because somebody in this whole deal, like, yeah, a million, but how about a million and one or a million and two or a million and three? Like, somebody's going to have more money. Somebody's going to prioritize that. The question, though, there then becomes overpaying and overvaluing in an acquisition deal is, will that hurt Florida long-term to go out and overpay up front now? Will that hurt them in November, December? Or will they just find a way to just come up with some more somehow, some way?
I mean, I think more teams, you know, as we hear about rosters expanding to $40 million, and now people thinking it's going to reach $50 million, and perhaps it will. You know, I think the ability to find money for what, you know, people are kind of now, at least some colleagues of mine are now calling the green bloods, the people who can spend, you know, handfuls over handfuls, you know, kind of your New York Yankees, you know, just to use the analogy there. You know, money does not win you championships, but it helps you, you know, when you fall short, you can overcome mistakes a lot easier. And so I think there will be teams that can overcome mistakes a lot easier because of the money you are churning through. But, you know, and so I don't know that Clemson is necessarily going to be in that category. So there are different dynamics involved there. And I've even just kind of lost my train of thought necessarily on where you said something there that applies to Clemson that, yeah. I just think that an LSU, a Texas Tech, I don't think are necessarily going to be hurt by going out and overspending for people until there are restrictions in place, you know, whether it, we call it a salary cap or any ways to kind of control and mitigate the difference in haves and have-nots.
Let me ask you your Spidey sense on this. Not to mention any team, but I'm going to throw out two numbers for you. I'll throw out several numbers for you. And you tell me what your Spidey sense says, and that's not just a gut, because you're talking a lot of different contexts, a lot of different ways. But we're talking about a vague deal. Like, no one knows. Some people do. Everybody knows. But there's always that exaggeration that comes along, right? So, the idea now, $20 million in basketball. The first question is that: are you believing that 10? How many teams are spending the $20 million? On the other side,
I believe that number is. Yeah. I believe that number has escalated. I mean, I think the majority of your SAC teams are now spending $15 million, and even some that you would not think getting to that level. I think there are, we'll say 10 to 20 teams that are approaching that. I mean, there are numbers that you, like you said, things get exaggerated, and to your bigger point, like, there are stories that, like, we write on what the value that players at certain positions are getting. And a lot of that information comes from the higher-end kind of guys. And so people are reading that, you know, agents, players, whatnot, and think that is kind of the norm for the position. And then everybody starts expecting that. Agents start commanding it, and guys who necessarily shouldn't command that are. And so that just that becomes cyclical, and so you're seeing prices rise for a lot of all these guys, as much based on that's what they think they should be getting, that's what they are pushing for, and ultimately all it takes is one, and they're able to get it, and because the demand exceeds supply, you know, for good players at certain points. And generally, schools find a way to get the money if they really want it. So that's what, you know, these prices continue to escalate, and it's really it's really difficult for schools to keep that down, because ultimately, as long as fan bases want to win, there's going to be the money there. So these things are continue. I don't know if spiraling is the right word, because that's a negative connotation. But it's certainly the prices and the money keep inflating at a huge rate, a much larger rate than schools anticipate year over year, because there has not been the fatigue to it yet to stop it, because people still want to win. Right. I mean, they're – go ahead.
Let me specifically then, because I have one more big picture question after this. The thought was – I was talking to someone athletic saying that Clemson's going to have like 28 to 29 million this year, and that number seems big. But then the numbers also thrown out to me is that Texas Tech, LSU, Miami are going to go to 40, like 39 to 40 mm-hmm. million. But then Cal Whittingham comes out last week and said there will be 10 to 12 teams this year that spend 50. Like, is that just Kyle Whittingham being, I don't have enough, everybody has more? Is that exaggerated there? Or do you think we'll see 10 mm-hmm. to 12 get to 50 this year?
I don't think we'll see that many teams get to 50. I mean, will we get to 50? Yes, at the current pace. I don't think, as I look at the players and the numbers I hear, I don't think we're at that yet. I think basketball has exploded at a much larger scale than football. And I think you can see an LSU and a Texas Tech getting there in another year. I think you'll see Miami in one or two. But I don't think most schools are ready to go that high yet.
All right, final one for you. And this is one of the greatest questions I've ever heard. I think it's the Kansas athletic director. I've got to find the direct quote and who said mm-hmm. it. I'm gonna credit the Kansas guy, because my gut says Kansas on this. But his point last year was – why did we sign the house settlement thinking that it was capped at 20.5, or at least somewhat capped, at, soft capped at 20.5, if we're going to be talking about 50? And 50 in football and 20 in basketball. Like, what was the point of the house settlement if you got to do it? I mentioned this before, like in insurance. It'd be like me going to my Allstate insurance agent, Brad Hughes, and saying, all right, here's my premiums I'm going to pay every single month. But when I have a claim, I still got to pay 100% of the auto damages and 100% of my health insurance and my home. I still got to do that too. Like, why do we do the 20.5 if it means 70 between football mm-hmm. and basketball?
Number one, schools were desperate to try anything, and I think trying anything felt better than the alternative at that point. But in the end, this is no different than what we've seen across the landscape for the last 50 years, is that people will seek loopholes that they can use for competitive advantage. And coaches say they want structure, but there are always some within that subset that, you know, that are going to push the envelope and do what they believe, you know, what is still within the rules, but is not within the spirit of the rules, looking for that competitive advantage. And it's happened through recruitments, you know, going – through the Herschel Walkers and those days, SMU, and it will continue, until there can be greater oversight over it, and there are salary caps and things like that. But people are going to push the envelope, and it doesn't really matter, that cap settlement and everything that they were just trying to plug the dam with.
Thank goodness my Allstate insurance doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Because, boy, I shouldn't have been paying his premiums all these years. Anyway, tell me about TigerIllustrated.com, an unbelievable time to go ahead and subscribe and understand all this and be informed on all fronts.
Absolutely. you know, recruiting certainly has kicked into gear here with you know, leading into the official visits. But you've got a number of different dominoes falling within the market that are leading a number of different commitments to occur now in advance of that. And so you're seeing a lot of movement on Clemson's board, both in guys coming off, but in guys being added, and Clemson trying to close in on specific targets. We've got you know, certainly one basketball transfer, you know, position still out there that we are still tracking, and a lot going into summer workouts and things that are starting there. But recruiting, I think Clemson fans want to win some recruitments, and I think that is coming soon. But there's been some patience required, but a lot of that's all starting to come into play over this next month to 2 months.
Sell me on patience, right? Like, try to sell that to me. Anyway, great stuff as usual, and I can't wait to visit and talk to us. Preview some of that official visit stuff coming up next week.
Yes, sir. Sounds good, Mickey.
Thank you so much. Paul Strelo, TigerIllustrated.com. I love that segment. Hey, my great friends, Patterson Tax Service, doing your taxes for you. If you want to get more money, is money. Money is time. If that faucet's leaking, that's money. And if that sewage is coming up through that drain, like, that's, man, you can't do that. You want an instant divorce? Don't do anything about it. Like, don't, like, delay that one. Get in touch with One Time Plumber, and that way you don't have to go Google searches and go, oh, where's a local plumber? What are these, good or not? Whatever. One Time Plumber. Put it in there. Remember the numbers. It's going to be, what is that smell? Oh! One Time Plumber. Get it done. Take care of it. Septic tank issues backed up. You got to take care of it. Water heater burst, and you got to get a quick shower because that you can't have that water heater going down. One Time Plumber. Name is the number. Charleston, Columbia, Clemson, Greenville, Spartanburg. Get in touch with it. One Time Plumber. They do it all. Couple of quick notes here before I take some phone calls. I wanted to point this out that we got – I found this out yesterday, and I promise I'd do this for them because I believe in them and they're great. Daniel High School girls soccer, they're the number one team in the upstate seeding. They advanced the second round. They beat Airport the other night 10-0. And the next game is Friday night, 6 o'clock. They'll host Emerald High School. Daniel's 19-3. They'd appreciate your love and appreciate your support. They got food trucks there normally, so they play on Tuesdays and Fridays. If they keep winning, they'll play this week and keep going. So go out and support Daniel Girls Soccer. So love that. And one other quick point. Remember the point that I thought that made a great point about the 20 to 30-year-olds, 20, 25, 30-year-olds like the NIL and the portal stuff, and the 50, 60, and 70 don't? My friend Carl got sent this morning and says the 25 to 30-year-olds are still on their parents' season tickets. You know, the season tickets that cost you $15,000. You know, the same 25 to 30-year-olds that still have $40,000 of student loans to pay off. Yeah, they're still using their moms and dads' season tickets right now. Of course they'd love that.
I don't know. There's a lot of people in my generation and around our age that I would not say are huge proponents of the whole thing.
Right.
I don't think people want to spend their money they don't have yet.
There's a great saying, and I'm going to get in trouble politically for this. I didn't get in trouble for the Zen stuff. I thought people would jump me on the Zen. You don't know what you're talking about, man. Zen's the best thing. I didn't get that. All right. I think I get in trouble for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway because you got to be authentic. There's a great saying that said, if you're not liberal thinking when you're 18, you have no heart. And if you're not conservative thinking when you're 38, you have no money. The point there is, your perspectives change as you get older. And the hard part for young people is that they're so, some are so resentful of older people and their ways and their values. But in the end, they shouldn't be, because if given a choice between old and rich or young and broke, you'd still rather be young and broke. Just a little wisdom for you there, Keanu. I see the wheels spinning over there for you, buddy.
I don't know if I want to be young and broke either. I'd rather be young and rich.
Well, you'd rather be young and rich. There's a saying in golf, too, like, you can hit it short and straight, and you can hit it long and crooked, but you can't hit it short and crooked. Like, you'd rather be long and straight, but there's other ways to go about it, too. See, the point there is, when you're young, you got the rest of your life to make all this money. Right?
You make a valid point.
That us 58-year-old billionaires are making right now.
Clemson has a billionaire right here in the studio.
Yeah. In my mind. In my mind. Let's get to our phone line. 654-ROAR. Single game season, Chad in Columbia. Good morning, Chad. How you doing?
Nick, I had no heart at 18, apparently. Anyways.
But Texas said, I have no heart and no money at 22. Yeah, that's good.
Hey, Nick, I went to the Clemson Club meeting last night in Columbia.
How many people, by the way? Do you go to it every year? Is this the first time?
Yeah.
You go every year?
I'd say, well, I've probably been 20 times in my life. You know, I'm 45 years old, so I've probably been 20. Nick, it used to be like Lexington High School, and it'd be like in the gym, and there'd be that many people, right? And you know, Park Lane Seafood would cater.
Oh yeah, get that fried shrimp. Yeah.
Oh yeah, so good, hush puppies.
Yeah.
Now, Nick, it's gotten now it's in Segra, and it's like banquet room, kind of overlooking the ballpark. And I'm gonna guess 300 people. You know, so it's down. But I mean, this is what's hilarious. I was by far again, and this is probably the third or fourth year in a row, like the youngest person there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just kind of scary. I mean, to your point about, like, stuff phasing out, I really don't think this will be a thing in 10 years. Now, I guess
agree.
You could argue the flip side of, well, most people my age, the kids have baseball or basketball or piano, which our daughter does all that. But
yeah.
So luckily for us, on Wednesday nights, we really don't have anything that's been on Wednesday the last couple of years. So I've been able to take her. But anyways, there's just still some disconnect because there's a lot of talk last night about NIL and rev share and portal. And I did learn some stuff about Clemson Ventures from Graham Neff and, you know, the concerts and how they're able to, like, reallocate money, and that'll help with rev share. And so that was kind of interesting. But, you know, Dabo still talks about, like, academic success rate and retention. And we have the second highest, you know, APR scores in the nation behind, you know, Ivy League school Columbia. And I just don't think any recruits care about that. And, I mean, maybe like half the audience cared last night. But, I mean, half of us probably, like, didn't care. You know, like, who cares about that anymore? Like, these
kids.
Well,
let me say this. And you're not wrong, and he's not wrong. And the people who care about it are not wrong. The people who don't care about it are not wrong. And that's something Ashby and I have kind of hammered the last couple of days in this thing. Like, what he's saying is right, and what he's saying is very important, and he is principled in that. And you think about it from his standpoint. Like, he spent 18 years here building that culture where it is important. All of a sudden now what we're going to say is that doesn't matter anymore. Like, it still does.
Right,
it doesn't to a 17 or 18-year-old. But you can't expect him to say all of a sudden now that we're going to throw away every part of this culture that I built just because a 17-year-old doesn't care anything about it anymore. So it has to be an and thing rather than a but thing, right? Like, we do all this and we do that. So you have to win and do those things if they're still important to you. Or you can throw it all out, be Texas Tech, and who cares? We're renting these guys for a year. And so fans truly don't want that, but they want and. And so you got to be able to do some both. I don't blame him one bit for mentioning it. It is a very strong point, and he's right, and it is a feather in his cap that he has built that. And principled, he is right. But to your point, you're not wrong either in that a 17-year-old doesn't care about it because $400,000 is more than $350,000. So there's a balance.
Let me ask you your thoughts on this, okay? There's a lot of talk. Like, I would argue 10 years ago, 8 years ago, Clemson had the best culture in college football, and I honestly would believe that, okay?
Yep.
Nick, I'm going to be honest. I almost think our culture is a negative now. And this is going to sound crazy, but I almost think we have a little bit of entitlement culture. Like, hey, we chose Clemson out of high school, so it's our turn to start now because the guy in front of us graduated.
That's what, you know, isn't that what Tom Allen said, right? Didn't Tom Allen say that last year? So
I think that, like, retention and, you know, Strelo kind of hit on a little bit, like, Clemson's desire to basically pay everybody. Because, Nick, I don't want to name names, but we probably have 30.
I lose Chad. I think
chance of really ever contributing on the field, but are good practice players and probably good culture guys, et cetera. And those guys are not only on scholarship now, where they used to be walk-ons, those guys are, you know, getting NIL and or rev share. And so, like, you know, and it's because Dabo wants everybody to get paid. Like, you know, he values the walk-on because that's what he was. And so if you just look at that, and they're not getting a ton, but they are getting something. And I just think if you use that money for so I almost think, Mick, our culture now is a negative in today's college football because it's not really a meritocracy. Like, we're not, hey, we have to upgrade every position and make every position the best player possible. And if you're not doing everything that you could possibly do to contribute that, or make, you know.
And that's what we meant. We mentioned that in our first and second hours. Like, this is NFL 2.0. And so if you're going to play by that game, and if it is 2.0, the NFL cares. I'm going to tell you, I want to say this. The NFL cares. Now, they do give the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, and every team has their Walter Payton candidate guy. But in the end, you can say what you want to say. In the end, they can claim to care about you and your family and you and your kids, but not to the point where they're going to pay you because of that, or not to the point that they won't cut your butt as soon as they find somebody cheaper and better. So yep. that's exactly what we're talking about.
Like, they cut Wes Welker. I mean, Brady. I mean, Peyton Manning got cut from the Colts. Like, hey, we got Andrew Luck coming up. You know, like,
right.
You're gone, dude. And he's a legend.
So, in the end, I mean, is that okay? Because I can tell you that is something I don't like about the NFL. And that is why Sundays aren't as appealing to me as Saturdays. So, in the end, isn't Dabo right?
Yeah, I think he's right on a principle. I just don't think you can win that way.
So what you're telling me there is, what you're telling me there is that you're willing to throw away your principles.
Yeah, probably to win. Yeah, that sounds crazy to say, but yeah.
No, I mean, it doesn't. It is a choice. And because really, if you're choosing between winning and principles, you're going to choose winning. So you're no different than Texas Tech.
As a fan. Yeah, definitely. I'm the Texas Tech dude. And that's why, Mick, it's just tough. Because think about for Dabo. You've built Paul Journey, retention, graduating players. Yep. Like, and all that doesn't matter anymore at all. So that's why I'm just, a little stunned that he's still coaching, you know, and B, I just don't think there's any chance of success.
Well, to my point on that, though, is that shame on college football. Shame on college football, because what you're truly telling me now is that graduation rates at a higher academic institution, a higher learning, that doesn't matter anymore. That turning out great men and great husbands and great fathers and great leaders in the community, that doesn't matter anymore. And being loyal to a school and loyal to people, loyalty doesn't matter anymore. Shame on you that if you do run this man out of this business, and we're very close to doing, I don't know how very close, we're trying to, that where Lane Kiffin is better than Dabo Sweeney, that stinking, what's the drunk down at Ole Miss? Golden. Pete Golden. Yeah, Golden. The clown that is Pete Golden is better than Dabo Sweeney? Then shame on you, college football. Shameful.
And, Mick, I mean, I think, like, the Clemson Club meeting is just an example. Like, majority of people there, I mean, it looked like an old-school First Baptist church on a Sunday. Everybody in the building had gray hair, you know?
But that's we used to do touchdown clubs, and, like, they're kind of, like, dying a little bit. So, I tell you, you have to find a way to make it younger. But to your point, too, I couldn't go Monday and Tuesday night. We had coaches pitch, and I couldn't go last night. Because we've got piano practice. I mean, I can't go tonight because we've got a PTA. We got this. I just, you know, just busier. We're older people have more time and they don't have kids. So anyway,
no doubt. Yeah. All right, dude. Thanks for taking it.
Appreciate the phone call. In the end, shame on you. That we are now. It's only about money. And it's only about transactional. And it's only about that. I don't care about your family. I don't care about your kids. I don't care about your future. I don't care about what kind of person you could be at the end. I only care about winning. I only care about money. That's where we are. That's true. So you're going to complain about it, which I am, but that's what it is. That's where we are. Shame. Anyway, and the thing is, we all know it's shameful, and we're still doing it. That's the bad part. You ready, Ashby? Commercial, faith-based, industrial, multifamily, healthcare, education, municipalities, or doctor reviews?
Multifamily.
When my wife and I were building or remodeling our home, we lived in two of these multifamily deals. All right? And I will tell you this, Trail built both of them. And we got to be close. They were even building on to this other one. And we got to be close with a couple of their deals here. So just from a multi standpoint, this is a business decision. And one of the things we talked about was, all right, other people are doing it this way, so you have to do it this way. And the Beatles came up. I bought the Beatles up, okay? And my point was that at the height of Beatlemania and boy band, I Want to Hold Your Hand, She Loves You, Yeah, 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 the Beatles decided to make Sgt. Pepper's or Billy Shears, or the Beatles decided to make A Day in the Life, where they bring this orchestra and do these stuff. And like they said, no, we're not going to keep doing the boy bands. We'll do this. And then when it's to this, we'll go to India and make that guitar from India and that sound. Like we'll do all this other stuff, because they didn't do it like everybody else. And that's the true pioneers and the true great ones. And that's why someone needs to do this in college. Like, be the pioneer to go, we're not going to do it like this anymore. We're going to do it our way, and people will follow us rather than doing it their way. Interesting concept. AllDry, myalldry.com. There's other concepts out there that just work, and here's one that works. What works is, personally me, when I settle on a company or doing things now, for the most part, I want to do it with high character, high value, high ethical people, and doing it right. I want to do it with local people, but I don't want to sacrifice the service part of it. Stan and the great folks at myalldry.com. If for some reason you have any issue with water and mold, your local response team are the very highly thought of people here in our community of AllDry. MyAllDry.com, 864-863-1234. My friend Chris up next. A, thanks for hanging on. B, thanks for calling in. And B, do I need to slow down with the Southern accent stuff? You got me, Chris? I can speak Jersey,
you know,
too.
I've been listening for a while, Mickey, so I'm starting to catch up.
Hey, I like it, bud. How you doing?
I'm just cutting off the end of the words, and I'm getting you.
I like it. Catch me up, buddy. You doing well? Your wife well? Kids, grandkids, everybody good?
Everybody's good. Everybody's good. All's good.
I'm glad to hear that.
Can't complain.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
So listen, I'm listening to you this morning because I'm driving down to Duluth. I have to take my car into service down in Georgia.
Oh, how about that?
And but the saying that you were saying there, we had a little different saying. It was, if you're in your 20s and you're not liberal, you have no heart. If you're in your 30s and you have no, and you're not a conservative, you have no brain.
No brain rather than no money. I like it.
Anyway, I'm listening to your callers, and I agree with a lot of stuff they're saying. That last caller, my question to him would be, how much money is he giving to these NIL players?
Right.
The guy who's saying that, Dabo's out of touch with the, nobody cares about him graduating and this, that, and the other thing.
Did you?
And he doesn't care. He just wants to win.
Right.
You know what? I am the opposite. You know that I'm a season ticket holder.
Right.
Pay a lot of money for those tickets. And I've had conversations with Graham about the DJ, for instance.
Right.
The music is horrible. Right. Horrible. I go to other games, other stadiums, other cities, and the music is good. It's enjoyable. Our DJ is horrible. And I said to him, look, Graham, you're catering to these kids that pay nothing. They don't pay a dime. I'm paying $15,000, $20,000 a year for my tickets. I'm the person you need to be catering to.
Yeah. The issue that we talked about before is that on the message board and my text line, it is we are falling behind, so y'all need to give more money to NIL. Like, it's easy to go spend somebody else's money through it all. If you don't like it, then go give more money to NIL. Go give more money to Clemson.
Exactly. These people are complaining. I'm going to ask them how much money they're giving.
Yeah, yeah.
Ask them how much money they're giving. We've had this conversation before. College football, college sports in general, it's in shambles.
Yeah.
Once you get the politicians involved, once you get the courts involved, they screw everything up.
Yeah. Especially the courts at this point in time. The politicians are trying. Some are trying, some are. But the NCAA is trying. We tried to make rules. We tried to make guidelines. But then the appellate court judge, the circuit court guy, is taking all that away, and so all the power's in the courts now. That's
when you have judges that are apologizing to people who try to assassinate the president, you got problems.
Well, we got problems. We definitely have problems. I mean, here's the bad part, Chris, is that college football used to be the diversion away from the real problems. Because it was right, and it was principled, and it was doing great things, and now there's just one more problem. Now where's the diversion? You know, there are problems much bigger than college football, but what college football used to be was a way to escape what those real problems are, and now as fans, we're like, well, they're part of the real problem too, and we better be careful, buddy. I keep talking about this. We better be careful, or else we can turn away. You know this. You grew up without college football.
Oh yeah. Listen. I'm very close to not renewing my tickets.
And if they lose you, not just the money wise. Go ahead.
It's not because of the money, and it's because if I don't enjoy going to the games, why would I spend my money to do it?
Right. Well, when they lose,
the whole thing was you would enjoy the experience. It wasn't just the game; it's the experience.
Right.
Tailgating. It's the whole experience.
I got a bunch of people that I know that are like you, that if we lose you and your passion, then that's what I'm talking about. We can't afford to lose your energy, not near your money. I mean, there's another corporate dollar that will replace your money, but we can't lose your passion. We can't lose the people that love it to the point where not just your money, but your time, your effort, your energy, and the conversations and people you bring into it and the family aspect of, we can't lose that. Once we lose that, then we're in trouble because it's hard to get it back. The corporate dollar can't replace the family dollar. They can, but they can't replace the experience part of all that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Just one more thing before we go. You're talking about the Beatles.
Yeah.
I grew up as a big Beatles fan, and I'm watching on YouTube these different these little podcasts of people, like the first time listening to the Beatles. You know, there's one in particular. It's called, I think he's Black Boy Benji. He's his first time listening to Abbey Road, and you see their face and you see the expressions. It's the best. If you ever get a chance to watch anything on YouTube, watch Black Boy Benji reviewing Abbey Road.
All right. I'll do it. I'll try to check it out. Hey, always good to hear from you, buddy.
All right, buddy.
Always, man. Take care of yourself.
Good to see you. Good to hear you.
You too. So, yeah, while the Beatles are making Help, then they go to Rubber Soul, then Revolver, and then Sgt. Pepper's because they didn't do it like they were told to do it. They did it their way, and they changed the industry rather than industry changing them because they were confident enough to do it the way that they knew would be the right way.
Amen. Amen.
That'll preach. What I didn't get to today that we will get to tomorrow is Bubba Cunningham and a quote. This is my Brad Hughes going extra mile. Brad Hughes at allstate.com, Brad Hughes insurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks to Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. Get in touch with him. Can certainly help you out. Brad Hughes at allstate.com. All right. So get this. Bubba Cunningham, who is the University of North Carolina athletic director. Now, this is Professor Wild Ute from the University of Utah. So Bubba Cunningham was asked a question that should terrify every non-revenue sport in America. To be honest with you, I love the tennis programs in college athletics. I love the golf programs in college athletics. I love the soccer programs, the softball programs.
It's the best, man.
Love all that.
The best.
Bubba Cunningham was asked a terrifying question. Quote, is a starting wide receiver who costs $2.5 million more valuable to your athletics department than your men's and women's tennis programs? And the uncomfortable answer is yes. A starting wide receiver, one of 22 starters on your football team, is more valuable than your tennis programs. And that's hard to admit. So we'll get into that tomorrow. Also tomorrow, I want to get into the Dan Patrick stuff, where Dan Patrick gets on Dabo Swinney. about Dabo saying Ohio State and Notre Dame had the bigger issue, the bigger advantage there with money wise, and he said, "Hey, dude, you just had 9 guys drafted. You went 7-6. That's Ohio State. You don't have an Ohio State and a Notre Dame problem." It's interesting. It's an interesting question Dan Patrick got on about. So we can talk about that tomorrow as well. Skip the music, Keanu. 2 minute drill. What do you have for me?
Talk a little bit of Super Motocross this weekend in Utah.
You're into that stuff.
I am.
Are you going to Utah this weekend for that?
There's just no way. But Hunter Lawrence and Ken Roczen are battling for the championship. 1 point difference. So
never.
Winner takes all.
Never heard of her. Keep me up to date with that. Ashby, what do you have for me?
25th anniversary of Allen Iverson. We talking about practice speech today.
Today?
Today.
We talking about practice, not a game.
Not a game. Practice.
You know
we
what?
We talking about practice.
I love the pause. The pause is the best.
He sits there and looks at him with just disgust. Yeah.
And
we're talking about practice. So good, man.
Not a game. Oh,
it's the playoffs.
Man. That one goes up there with Mike Singletary when it on the as far as the cadence of how it works out that way, where he goes. Can't win with them. Can't do it. Rather play with 10. Can't win with them. Can't do it.
Anyway. So good.
Yeah.
That and I'm a man.
I'm 40.
40.
One of my favorite cadences ever is the late Jesse Jackson on Saturday Night Live reading Green Eggs and Ham.
Oh, cinema.
I wouldn't like them. Sam, I am. I would not eat Green Eggs and Ham. Not with a fox.
Not with an ox.
Not with a fox. My 2 minute drill, Eric Newton, EricNewton.com for all real estate needs, EricNewton.com. Hey, that aforementioned Daniel High School girls soccer. Mm-hmm. His one of his daughters is a superstar.
Let's go.
Let's get out and support Daniel girls soccer in their state championship bid for that. Let me thank Paul Streeter, TigerIllustrator.com. Congratulations to Keanu graduating tomorrow, man. Great job. So go cheer on Keanu tomorrow at 1:30. Ashby, great job. You moving tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, we're here.
All right, let's do tomorrow's show. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Texture says Supercross. Yes. You got a Supercross fan over there. Up next to my favorite people.